Welcome to the perfect place for imperfect people. This is the Local Church Podcast, and we hope this message both challenges and encourages you. Here's today's message.
I want to start talking to you today about an idea that I call the big miss. The big miss. And here's how it works for me. All of us can look back in our lives and see opportunities where we missed. The investment we did not take advantage of, the job opportunity that we let go by, the friend who needed us in a crisis and we didn't show up. We've all had moments where we miss. We all fumble. We all strike out. We all don't show up from time to time. We miss. And when I think about the Christmas story, I'm one of these guys who loves to ask the out-of-bounds crazy question. The question I've been asking for a couple of weeks is, who was the big miss in the original Christmas story? I mean, who blew it? Shepherds figured it out. Wise men got it right. Mary certainly did her part. Who blew it? And for me, the answer has to be the innkeeper. Think about this. This guy had the opportunity at his hotel to say the Son of God was born in room 102. I mean, you're going to hotels where they put up pictures of celebrities that have stayed there and they advertise the big things that have happened there. And yet, this innkeeper was the one who said to Mary and Joseph, sorry, there is no room. I call that moment in history the big miss. And yet, I'm concerned that as Christ followers, we experience the big miss frequently at Christmas, because we get so wrapped up in the more that we miss the Christ part. And that's what I've been given the privilege to teach about today. Our title is Make Moss Room. Make Moss Room. How do you make more room for Christ this Christmas? And you're thinking, hey, it's already here. You can still do it. You can still add room for Jesus. You can still make sure that you don't miss what he has for you this Christmas season. Let me set up what's going on in Luke chapter 2 in this original first version of Christmas. Every 10 or 20 years, the Roman emperors decide we want to take a census of all the countries that we occupy. We want to know how many people are under our jurisdiction in Israel, how many in Syria, how many in Egypt. They just go around to all the lands that they are currently owning, and they take a census. And the way the census works is not like our American census. It's not that somebody comes to your house or that you fill out a form and send it in. No, in this census, you have to go back to the town where you're from, and you have to make an appointment with the census taker and register for the census. This is a little bit of an interruption, especially in a day where they don't have transportation that we have. So you got Mary and Joseph and the baby who's coming, because Mary is 9 months pregnant when this census order comes out. I'm sure she's excited about it. And she has to travel 60 miles by donkey. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever ridden a donkey. Let me help you with the experience. It is not about comfort. It's kind of like riding a sawhorse. There's nothing comfortable about it. And tradition tells us that they were a one donkey family. So picture Joseph walking and leading the donkey. Picture Mary, 9 months pregnant, straddling the donkey, trying not to fall off the donkey. And picture 60 miles, which would have taken 3 or 4 days. And when they finally get there, the first thing they hear is this verse: there's no room for you in the inn. Now, I don't know how it would have worked for you, but for me, I'd be losing my cool at this point. I'd be going, this is a stupid census. It's stupid we had to travel this far. I'm tired of that stupid donkey, and now the stupid innkeeper doesn't have a stupid room. There's a lot of stupid going on there. I mean, I'd be frustrated as I can be. That guy missed Christmas. That guy missed the opportunity to bless the Son of God. He missed the opportunity to host the Son of God. Now, before we get too hard on him, I did this for decades every Christmas. I was so busy with how I did Christmas that I did not get to experience Christ at Christmas. So that's what I want us to talk about today. If you know me at all, I'm a historian. I love the study of words, etymology of words, how words develop over a period of time is something that interests me. I realize there's probably nobody else in the room that interests. But here's 2 minutes worth about that because it helps understand what we're talking about today. The word Christmas has gone through three different cultural meanings in the last almost 20 centuries. Christmas was originally spelled Christ Mass, two S's. And it started in the third century when the church said, let's have a mass, let's have a weekend worship service every year centered around the birth of Christ. In other words, they said, this is a big deal. We ought to read the story. We ought to tell the story. We ought to celebrate the birth of Christ. So they added a Christ Mass, a service all about Luke 2. Luke 2 was probably being read in that first Christ Mass in the 300s. Can you imagine? I mean, it's been around that long. Now, by the 12th and 13th century, Latin, which was what Christ Mass was written in, is no longer a spoken language, and it's given way to several variations. The French have their own variation that is now modern-day French. The Spanish, the Latinos, have their own version. And the Latinos jump in here, and they have influence. They drop the second S from Christ Mass, and they start calling it Christmas or Christ Mass. And literally it meant for them, hey, we need more of Christ. We need more of Christ. We need a service and a season that reminds us to have more of Jesus. Pretty cool. Still on track. I'm convinced in the 21st century, we're leaving Christ out altogether. In the 21st century, it's just Mass. Mass, Mass, Mass. More, more, more. I said Merry Christmas to somebody last week, and they corrected me and said, you should say Happy Holidays. And I looked at them and said, when I'm dead, I will still not have ever said Happy Holidays. Because when it comes to being politically correct, this is Texican for, do you see any care in either eye? No, I'm not taking Christ out of my Christmas celebration. I'm not doing that because the point is to have a mass that celebrates Christ. The point is to have more of Jesus, not less. And this is a direction we don't want to go. Holidays, you probably know this, were originally holy days. They were days of celebration set aside for a holy purpose. Thanksgiving was set aside as a day to worship God for his goodness to the United States. Now we've come so far from it that you're supposed to leave God out. No. No, not doing it. I want him dead center in my Thanksgiving celebration. I want him dead center in my Christmas celebration. The problem with those holy days is we leave out the purpose and soon they're just celebrations. They're just holidays instead. Now, I don't quote Jim Carrey very often. He's not exactly my favorite theologian. But Jim Carrey at one time, at the height of his career, made more money per movie than any actor in Hollywood. You aware of that? He walked away from it at its height. You notice how he just quit making movies? He just stopped. Here's a quote. I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. Having it all is not the answer. Now, I'd like to give it a try, but it's not the answer. More, more, more is not the answer. What Carrie has written about and interviewed about extensively is, I got to the top of the mountain and it wasn't enough. I had everything I'd ever dreamed of, and I was still empty in my soul. I was still empty in my life. I was still empty in my purpose. How is that? Because moss is not the solution. Christ is the solution. So I want to talk to you today about three ways to make room for Christ this Christmas. Because again, for decades, the way I did Christmas killed the joy of Christmas for me. Wasn't until 30 years ago, halfway through my adult life, that I hit the brakes and said, there has to be more. First, make more room for Jesus in my family. More room for Jesus in my family. We're all busy. We all have things to get done. And I love the fact that the Bible is full of godly men and women who are having to juggle to balance the stuff of this life with the priorities of God. I mean, that's a challenge. How many of you have everything done for Christmas? Hands. I hate you. I don't hate you. But you are the exception in the room. Most of us won't have everything done on Christmas Day. We'll still be doing, because the way we hustle and bustle for Christmas, the way we hurry and scurry for Christmas, takes Christ out of the formula. Joshua was one of those Bible characters who had to work in a busy schedule with the priorities of God, and he did a phenomenal job of it. In fact, the guy has a whole book of the Bible named after him. By the way, I have a book of the Bible named after me. Do you guys know that? Yeah, Daniel. Don't believe that. It's not true. There is a book of the Bible named Daniel, but it's not for me. Listen to what Joshua wrote. We must all choose for ourselves whom we will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I get it. You're sitting here in the service at the local church on this Sunday before Christmas weekend, or you're watching online with 1,000 other people that watch every weekend. I think that is so cool. And you're thinking to yourself, you know what? I'm not serving any pagan gods like there were in Joshua's day. Probably not. But we all serve other gods. Because Scripture says anything I put above God as a priority becomes my God. If I make work a higher priority than God, work becomes my God. If I make money a higher priority than God, money becomes my God. Self becomes my God. Lust becomes my God. Fame becomes my God. Remember God's top 10 list, the 10 commandments? Check out the first one. You shall have no other gods before me. That didn't just make the top 10, it's first. God's first commandment to us, the first step of obedience he wants, is don't let anything else take my place. Don't love anything else more than you love me. Not self, not pride, not power, not position, not prestige, nothing. And two verses later, he tells us why. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I'm a jealous God. So how do I make sure that I don't let the more become God this Christmas? How do I make sure I don't let the hustle and bustle and hurry and scurry take over the peace of my soul this Christmas? I put God back on the priority list with my family. Here's a couple of ways. One, you can find time to worship him as a family next weekend. We're doing 6 worship services next weekend. They're at different times than normal. That's a warning light. Pay attention. You should have gotten one of these when you came in today. It's got the Christmas times. There are 2 on Christmas Eve. There are 2 in the morning, Christmas Eve, 2 at night, Christmas Eve. 6 opportunities. Come as a family. Come as a family. Sit as a family. Worship as a family. One of the things we started doing when our kids were small, we still do it, is we read the Christmas story together as a family. Luke 2 is part of our Christmas. We read the whole chapter. Takes about 7 minutes, but it centers it on Jesus. It takes my eyes off of the gifts and the tree and the bills that are going to come in, and it puts my heart back centered on Jesus. Another thing we started doing when our kids were little, make a birthday cake at Christmas. This is a birthday party. What kind of a party doesn't have a birthday cake? Now you're thinking, I've never heard of a birthday cake at Christmas. Try it. I mean, Christmas gets better when you have more cake. That's the way the thing works. Create time to share as a family. Before we ever get to the gifts every Christmas, we take a few minutes and say, what are you thanking God for this Christmas? How has He blessed you this year? What are you grateful for this year? Put Jesus back in your family celebration. Make room for Him, because serving God starts at home. Honoring God starts at home. Putting God first starts at home. Make room for Jesus this Christmas in your family. Number two, make room for Jesus this Christmas in your friendships. In your friendship. Now, the older I get, the more life is about relationships. And I'm at this awesome place. I've been here for about 20 years, but I am really here now. Life is no longer about what I do. It's about who I do it with. Can I tell you flat out why Mary and I are back in South Florida? Because you people were crazy enough to invite us back. And all I had to say was, I don't care what the job is. This is the group of people I want to do life with. This is the group of people we raised our kids with. This is the group of people that are our deepest friends in the whole world. This is where we want to be. Because life happens in relationships. Now, I have two sets of friends in my life. I have a set that are Christ-following friends. They are friends that love Jesus like I love Jesus. They serve Him. He's first in their lives. And I have those kind of friends. I also have a set of friends who think Jesus is a curse word. I have a set of friends who are far from God. Far, 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 far. Did I say far? They don't know Him. Don't miss this. Jesus is part of both sets of friendships. Both. Why is that the case? Because you talk about what you love. Can I show it to you in Scripture? Jesus said it this way, the mouth speaks the things that are in the heart. Here's the Sutherland translation of that verse. You talk about the stuff you love. You can't help it. In Texas, we'd say you can't help it. It just naturally flows out. Think of your closest friends right now. Let me ask you some questions. Could you pray with them? I pray with my friends that are far from God all the time. I'll just stop and say, let me pray about that. And before I get their permission at all, I pray. They look at me afterwards like, but they've gotten used to it. I had a friend who had knee surgery, replacement surgery, 2 weeks after I did in Kansas City. He called me this past week. He wanted us to kind of commiserate together. You know, he wanted me to complain, and I wanted him to complain, and we did. We talked about how it wasn't much fun. But then he said to me, this guy is not a believer. He said, Dan, one of the reasons I called you is I know you're praying for me, so I thought you might as well know what's going on. This is my far from God friend who acknowledges that me talking about God is a normal part of what I do. Can you pray for them? Can you tell them you're praying for them? Can you share Scripture with them? I love saying to my friends that are far from God, you know what? Jesus talked about that. And here's what He said. Now, here's what I've learned. Most of my friends that are far from God have a problem with the church, but they think Jesus is pretty cool. They think Jesus is all right. So when I tell them, they'll say, really, Jesus said that? I said, yeah, He said a lot of good stuff about that. Can you talk with them about God in general? Can you bring it up in a natural way? Now, here's why this has to be important for me. If you're going to be my friend, you're going to have to be okay with my wife. Because I'm going to talk about her. My wife rocks. I mean, I married the sweetest girl in the whole world. I outkicked my coverage every way. If I didn't know there was a God 100 other ways, I know there's a God because what he gave me in that woman. So I'm going to talk about that I love. I'm going to talk about my wife. And if you don't like my wife, we're going to have a problem being friends. I'm going to talk about my kids and my grandkids. And I'm going to tell you that my kids and grandkids are superior to your kids and grandkids. Because I believe that. And I'm going to tell you that grandkids are even better than kids. My daughter said to me years ago, "Dad, it seems like you love the grandkids more than you love us kids." And I said, "Seems like?" Let me be clear, you were a pain in the rear. Grandkids are awesome. I'm going to talk about my kids and my grandkids. And if you have a problem with my kids and my grandkids, our friendship is going to be very limited. I'm going to talk about God, period. I'm not going to force feed it to you. I'm going to do it in a natural way. I'm going to say, "I've been praying for you about that. Can I pray right now?" I'm going to say, "Here's what Jesus said." I'm going to say, "Here's what God's been teaching me." Why? Because I'm okay with you thinking I'm odd for God. In fact, it's a compliment. I embrace it. I'm okay with you thinking I'm a Jesus freak. I really am. Know why? Because every friend I have that is far from God is going to have a day when they're experiencing a faith crisis. And in that low moment, they're going to turn to whatever friend they have that they think knows Jesus. I want to be that person. I want to be that person. You talk about what you love. So we are going to make room for Jesus. Friendships are not a two-way street. They are triangular. You might write that down. Think about it some later. There's Jesus, there's you, and there's me. Now, if you're just doing your friendships as you and the person, you're leaving out the best part. I'm going to include Jesus whether they do or not, which means he's included, which means he's part of the relationship. So I make room for Jesus in my family this Christmas. I make room for Jesus in my friendships this Christmas. Third one I'm just going to mention because Pastor Eric talked about it last week and did an amazing job of it. I also have to make room for Jesus in my finances. In my finances. Listen to what Jesus said. Where your treasure is, your heart is. Sutherland Translation. You spend money on what you love. Some of us are hurricane fans. I am. There is hurricane gear in my closet. I spent money on it. I've been to hurricane games. Only season tickets I ever had were for the hurricanes. I don't have any Seminole gear. Some of you have Seminole gear because you love the Seminoles or the cinnamon rolls. I don't know what that was. And you will spend money on what you love. Some of you spend money on golf. I don't get it. Hit a little ball as far as you can and then chase it. I mean, hit it till you can't see it, and then go look for it, and hit it again, and pay people money to do this. But if you love golf, you'll spend money on golf. If you love shopping, then this time of year is great for you, and you love the mall, and you love the stores, and you love online, and you love Amazon. If you think about it, whatever you love shows up in your heart. And whatever you love comes out of your mouth. And whatever you love, you spend money on. except for Jesus. Now, here's the weirdness of American culture. We celebrate the birthday of Christ by throwing birthday parties and buying everybody else a gift, but not the birthday boy. What? I mean, I've never thrown a party like that. I've never thrown a party that says, hey, May 10th is Dan's birthday. Everybody come, but don't bring a gift for Dan. Bring a gift for everybody else at the party. That seems backwards. We do it every year. That's why we do this thing here at the local church called Greatest Gift. That envelope was on your chair when you came in. Mary and I have been doing this for the past 30 years. We make our Christmas list, and we make it by who we love most. We're going to spend more money on our grandkids than we do on our kids, because I love them more. We're going to spend more money on our kids than we do on each other, because we're kind of at the point in life where there's not a whole lot that each other needs. We're going to have some friends and family on there that we spend less on. But our Christmas list is a statement of our love priorities. I spend more on the people I love most. Why isn't Jesus on the list? It's because we do this backwards party the way America has taught us than the way that makes sense. So I'm going to encourage you. Do one thing different this year on your finances at Christmas. Whatever you're spending on the most expensive gift, give that plus a little more to Jesus. How do you do it? You give it to his church. The fun part this year for us here at Local Church is we have designated everything that comes in one of these envelopes to go to a specific area. We sat down months ago as a church staff and said, what would honor the King this Christmas? What should we do with the gifts that come in? And we decided that expanding the kingdom is a good way to honor the King. So this year, everything that comes in through the Greatest Gift will go to our church online, which is about 1,000 people every week and growing, because that's a great way to reach new people. It will go to church planting, which is starting new churches, because no churches grow faster than new church plants. And it will go to beginning to make plans to expand this facility, because look around the dadgum room. Go ahead, look. 'Tis full, which is glorious. But there's also tons of people out there that haven't found the Jesus that's here yet. So whatever you give this year to Greatest Gift goes to expansion in 2024. You spend money on what you love. It's interesting to me that while we started today talking about the big miss in the Christmas story, which I believe is the innkeeper, we didn't talk a lot about who got the Christmas story right. Let me mention that for a moment. You guys can sit for a second. We're not quite ready. You're fine. Just sit where you are. I think the wise men got it right. They traveled hundreds of miles bringing gifts. They didn't show up at the birthday of the King empty-handed. Wise men brought gifts. Wise men still do. We'll tell you one story and we'll wrap this up. 30 years ago, we had a Christmas plan that was crazy. We were doing 11 services that weekend at Flamingo Road. Last one, I think, was a midnight service, midnight mass kind of thing, service on Christmas Eve. It was crazy. It was crazy. And then we were flying out Christmas Day back to Texas because all of my family was in Texas. And once we got back there the day after Christmas, we did 4 Christmas celebrations in 4 different cities over 4 different days. This is called Christmas purgatory. Then we flew back here on Friday, and on Saturday did our own Christmas, which we were just then getting to, so that I could go back and do the next weekend services that started Saturday night. Sometimes the way we do Christmas kills Christmas in us. Does that make sense? Sometimes the way we do it kills it in us. And Mary and I have always done Christmas where she does most of the shopping and I clean up after the explosion. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, after all the gifts have been opened and there's just stuff everywhere, my job to clean up. So I've got two trash bags out. I have filled up the second bag. I'm wrapping it up and I think, you know what? I'm just going to sit here on the couch for a few minutes before I go shower and head to the church and start up the new year, because wow, this has been the craziest Christmas we've ever done. And when I sat on the couch, I discovered I had left a red bow out on the couch. So I picked it up and just kind of held it and looked at it. You know, it's kind of one of these bows that's got the back on it where you just pull it off and you stick it on the box. And I remember saying to Jesus, "Jesus, this is crazy Christmas." And I hear him whisper into my soul, "What'd you get me? What'd you get me?" And I realized I had traveled thousands of miles, done multiple services, multiple Christmases. I hadn't gotten him anything. So I went and sat under the tree. And I've been doing this for 30 years since. Because what he wants this Christmas is you. Now, he does want more room in your family, no doubt. Amen. And he does want more room in your friendships. He wants you to be able to talk about him openly. And he does want a place in your finances. Your biggest gift ought to go to him. But I'm going to challenge you this Christmas, when you see a red bow, to think about sitting under that tree. Keeps my Christmas centered around Jesus. And the fact that I already know I'm going to do that a week from tomorrow keeps my Christmas centered around Him.
Thank you for listening to the Local Church Podcast. If you enjoyed today's message, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast and review and share what you learned today. You can connect with us at thelocalchurch.com or by searching The Local Church on your favorite social media platforms. We hope you join us next week for a brand new episode. And remember, you matter to God and you matter to us.